Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Some have called this Secrets of Happiness. As Warren mentioned, some have called these the Beautiful Attitudes. Another has named it Christ's Ideal of Character. I mentioned to the personnel board one several times, maybe as a checkoff list, as we consider personnel, rather than the thing that you average see on a checkoff list, initiative, imagination, industry, and all of these things, maybe we ought to just take the Beatitudes and make that our checkoff list as a checkoff list in our personnel considerations. This was Christ's ideal of character. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Has this been a great summer? Well, you're as poor now as when you started it. Don't forget that. You may be richer in experience, but you're as helpless and as dependent as when you started the summer. Now, let's not forget that part. You see, we all would, it seems there's something built into us whereby we'd like to have some kind of a formula that we could follow or work out. And even in the name of Christianity, we get a little farther and farther away from the person of Jesus Christ. When God made us for fellowship with Him, so there is dependence that we might constantly come back to Him. You were a beggar. I was a beggar. You are a beggar. I am a beggar. You will be a beggar. I will be. We're always going to be beggars. But a beggar is someone who looks expecting to receive something. We are dependent. As opposed to the great central sin of independence. And to such a person who is dependent, there's all the resources of heaven at their disposal. The Lord helps those that help themselves. The Lord helps those that let Him help them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Over their own sin, those of others, those who go through any heartache and trial, and those who have not suffered are not really all there, because God uses these things to mature character. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who are patient under injury. Not weak, but meek. And meekness is strength of character. As opposed to blessed are the aggressive. They shall inherit the earth. As I was reflecting on these this morning, I thought of the fact that one reason the aggressive don't inherit the earth is they drop over coronaries when they're about 45 or 50. And the meek and the quiet and the ease in spirit may live to be 70 or thereabouts, all things being equal. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. For right doing, justice, doing things that are right. Now we come to the one this morning. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And in some ways, from the world's point of view, when you look at some of these, you say, oh, they're sissified, they're weak. But here again, as we see, it takes strength of character. This is a distinctively a Christian view. Have you ever heard people say, well, if I were God, I'd do thus and so, and I'd do thus and so, as if God were a tyrant? But if people to say this were God, they would be tyrants. We have a merciful God. They say, well, what's new? Well, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The mercy of God, compassion of God. Now, this matter of mercy is the thing that puts the heart into this Christian character. You see, a person can be right or righteous, do right, and they can be as right as a Swiss watch and just as cold. But mercy puts compassion, puts heart into it. And mercy is expressed toward those who do not deserve it. A compassionate heart. In compassionate acts. I was talking with Dave Morgan about the verses in Jeremiah, the first chapter, where the Lord said to Jeremiah that he wanted him to root up. He said, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. And Dave pointed out, isn't it interesting that the Lord picked Jeremiah to do the plucking up, the breaking down, the destroying, and the overthrowing, and Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. That he could not use the calloused, hard-hearted, thick-skinned person to root out and to pluck up and to destroy. But he needs someone of a compassionate heart to do that kind of work. Blessed are the merciful. Those showing mercy on those who have no claim to it, but an act of compassion. Making allowances for people. Not judging harshly and remembering that we don't know all the facts. Mercy by sharing what we have with others, giving of ourselves, our time, our money. The gospel itself and the sharing of the gospel is an act of mercy. You'd say, well, is there any way that I could start on this today? What can I do about this today? Well, why not start with a word of compassion or a word of understanding? You know, the psalmist said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Well, let's figure out some way that I could do something about being merciful today. Now, there are words of compassion, there are acts of compassion. Words would be easier, but it's the way to begin anyway. So Proverbs 12:25 came to my mind as just one possibility that we might do before the day is out. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. But a good word makes him glad. You think there's someone today with whom you could share a good word? Now, I could think of someone to whom I could drop a line today that I think could use a good word about now. And at least it'd be a little step in the practical application of mercy. Then it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Someone has said that dirt in the heart throws dust in the eyes. Your vision is blurred. You're a TV set that's been jostled, and you can't get the picture in clearly. If there's dirt in the heart, impure motives. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24:3-4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, what does it mean to have a pure heart? Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, it means more than just to be cleansed, because that is an inward thing. But here, in these particular, the latter part of these Beatitudes, he's talking about the relationship to others. This is an outward thing. And I think it has to do with purity in motive. Purity in motive. Why does a lustful man tell a woman he loves her? He hopes to break down her resistance. Why does a devious person flatter? He hopes to misdirect attention from his own deceit. Why does an employee speak harshly to his underlings, but is a yes man to the boss? Well, he's seeking self-advancement at the expense of both those under and those over him. And these and many other illustrations of impure motive. The motive is very important. The source of an action is important to God. And therefore, we each day say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And then we come and use 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How long does that go on? Well, until we see the Lord. I sometimes think that the older you get in the Christian life, the worse you become rather than the better. It seems like the Lord shows you more things, and there are things that seem sin to me that somehow that didn't seem sin to me 12, 15 years ago. You take the matter whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It hasn't been comparatively recently in my Christian life that I've had a sense of sin over not believing. I knew that believing was bad, but there's no particular sense of guilt or sin over it. I know I'm just slow to learn, but there are, I think others have gone through a similar situation. So we need 1 John 1:9. And make restitution where necessary. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And just by way of reminding ourselves, how do we see God? In Christ, don't we? Remember John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, show us the Father." Remember in John 14. And Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." But many Christians, they don't have an ever-increasing appreciation of the person of Christ and his wondrous beauty and all of his greatness and his majesty of who Jesus is because of impure heart. And dirt in the heart throws dust in the eyes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus said that these are beautiful attitudes. They're right attitudes. These are his ideal of character, real character. And of course, that kind of a character will certainly shine through, and that kind of a person, their light will shine, and people glorify God because of them. Shall we have a word of prayer?